This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
The time. Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, my co-host, and joining us on the Clearwater Products Hotline, it is Chris Wood, editor-publisher with BizWest. Chris, good morning to you, my friend. A question that, you know, it's like kind of the dust settles from the Greeley stampede, and everybody gets back into that routine, and one of the questions that we've been asked a lot is, hey, what's going on with the Catalyst Cascadia? And I said, well, hey, Chris Wood's going to join us every Tuesday morning. Chris, what is the latest with Catalyst Cascadia and all the lawsuits surrounding it?
Well, we have some major filings that have occurred in the case. Yesterday afternoon, I believe, the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, this is the lawsuit filed by some of Martin Lynn's companies against the city of Greeley. You recall that they sued on the eve of the February 24th election, saying that the election on the Cascadia and Catalyst planned unit development was invalid, that it was unconstitutional. That was filed February 23rd. And then in the meantime, of course, the vote occurred and voters did repeal that PUD. But the reason that the backers of Cascadia, that Martin Lynn's companies filed that lawsuit was to give them standing in to appeal that election because of a case out of Telluride that was before the Colorado Supreme Court. And in that case, the Colorado Supreme Court ruled that in that particular case, which was an amendment to a PUD that was before voters, that that was invalid because it was administrative in nature. Supporters of Catalyst and Cascadia say that that case therefore means that the Greeley election was invalid and unconstitutional because it was administrative in nature and not legislative. So now, last week, the city filed its response, which was pretty much calling for the court to make legal conclusions. However, yesterday, the plaintiffs did file a motion to have the election declared unconstitutional. They are seeking a declaratory judgment that it was unconstitutional because of the Telluride case. And really interesting, there is a footnote in their filing yesterday that they, as required by law, did confer with the attorneys for the city as well as the attorneys for Greeley Demands. Greeley Demands Better, and that the city agreed that that this was administrative in nature. This was a in the case. They said that defendant of apologize, guys. I'm looking through this case right now.
It's a lot going through all this stuff.
There was a five-page response filed Thursday by the city. They basically said that the city that this case called for legal conclusions. They asked the court to make that determination. And in the filing yesterday, the plaintiffs wrote that the city recognizes that, and this is in quotes, so I believe this is coming from an email from the city to the plaintiffs. The city recognizes that while the facts in Kavanaugh v. Telluride Locals Coalition were different because it dealt with an amendment, the Supreme Court's rationale appears to support the conclusion that ballot issue 1A involved an administrative matter. They say there nevertheless remains a controversy because the city clerk certified the ballot measure, and they look forward to the court's determination of that issue so that the parties can proceed accordingly. Greeley Demands Better obviously will oppose this. They have stated that. So there is more to come on this. But the really interesting part here is that the city appears to be agreeing that the Telluride case would determine that this was an administrative matter, not legislative. We're waiting to hear back from the city. We reached out to the city late yesterday to get clarification. Obviously, the city has not had time to file a response to this particular filing by the supporters of Cascadia. But things are rolling in the courts right now.
So this, like, if I can try and dumb it down for me and Brian here, what I'm understanding is that these notices are like, hey, we need a decision on this. Is that fair? Like, we need to get this thing going.
Yes, I think so. And the filing yesterday was really consequential in that they're asking the court, Judge Shannon Lyons, to declare that this vote was unconstitutional. I think the city, in its filing last week, this was its first answer to the initial complaint, was looking for some court guidance on this. But in the meantime, this email conferral that apparently occurred would seem to suggest that the city has agrees that this that the Telluride case would show that this was administrative and not legislative. So we have not had the city confirm that that conclusion, but the footnote in this filing yesterday is quoting from, I believe, an email exchange with the city. It does say that Greeley demands better, or the intervener, which is what Greeley demands better status is in this case, opposes the measure, but that the city appears to be agreeing that this was administrative in nature.
So I suppose, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not overly shocked by that, because it was the city. Like, listen, this would probably be the best loss of $300,000 that the city of Greeley's ever had if they can get this project somewhat back on the tracks here, Chris.
Yeah, I don't think it's very, very surprising if the city is taking that position. They were party to this transaction. They were party to all of the agreements with Martin Lynn's company. So it would not be surprising. Although, but the city clerk did authorize the ballot measure, did sign off on this this measure. So that creates an issue for the city in this. So we'll see what happens next. What the city's response is. Greeley demands better. Certainly, will have a filing regarding this as the intervener in this case. So it's not over by any means. It's going to go on for a while. We'll have to see what the city's response is and what Greeley demands better response is. And whether this, how long this takes the court to resolve.
Yeah, Chris, last question for me before we can move on. What is the timeline that you expect? I know that's probably a loaded question when we're talking about the justice system, but what is the timeline?
Yeah, you know, I think some of these things can take weeks, they can take months. I would expect we would have some responses fairly soon from the intervener, Greeley Demands Better, as well as the city. I would not hazard a guess as to how long that will be, but it's moving through the courts for sure. We'll have some resolution at some point, obviously, but whether that's weeks or still months away, I wouldn't hazard a guess.
All right, for everyone involved who's listening, I have a plan. Tomorrow, I would like Martin and everyone with Greeley Demands Defends Deserves Better to get together. We're going to sit down. We're going to sit in a room. We'll bring in anyone else who might have signed some other crap, and nobody's going home until we just get this thing figured out, and then we can all have a good Thursday. So everyone in on that?
Do you think that's good, Chris?
There you go.
All right, we got that covered. Hey, Chris. Chris, Boulder, Fort Collins, apparently ranking very high for tech jobs. This is a good thing. What do you know?
Yeah, there's a new study that came out by a company called Commercial Cafe, and they're ranking 70 different metropolitan areas in the western United States. These are cities with populations of more than 200,000. So we're looking at the metropolitan areas, not the city boundaries. But both Boulder and Fort Collins finished very high. Boulder scored highest of any metro in our area at number two in terms of, they said that it stood out for educational attainment. 66.5% of adults have a bachelor's degree or higher. Educational attainment was one of the three metrics that this commercial cafe used. But Fort Collins finishing very high as well. Boulder was ranked second on tech company density with nearly 60 tech firms per 1,000 companies. Denver was seventh on the overall list, and Fort Collins was 15th. So we know that this has been true for really decades. Boulder and Fort Collins have ranked very high in surveys of this type before, but it's good to see that they're continuing to rank high with this particular metric. There's been a lot of changes in the tech industry, a lot of challenges in the tech industry. But there are a lot of jobs out there that are being filled even now in Fort Collins and in Boulder in terms of the technology sector. So good rankings for those two cities.
Love to hear it, Chris. We ran out of time here today, my friend. But what do you got going on at BizWest?
Well, we got a couple of events coming up. We have our Startups to Watch event in Boulder on the 16th, and then Loveland the week after that. So we'll be honoring 10 Startups to Watch in both regions, both the Boulder Valley and in Northern Colorado, here in the next couple of weeks.
Chris, as always, appreciate the insight, my friend. Obviously, a lot going on with the Catalyst Cascadia, and for the ladies, you can get it at BizWest. Buddy, thanks so much for your time this morning.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, Chris.
Chris Wood, editor, publisher with BizWest. Faith Texian. So do I need to get the stove there? Is it what am I having a stroke, or does that first text line make no sense? Do I need to get the stove there, a t-shirt I used to make my boys wear when they were fighting and sit in it for a while and for Martin and his group. Good Lord, this has been dragging, and how annoying. Isn't the city losing money the longer this drags on? Yes, it is. And Faith, yes, we might need Mama
Bear
to come in.
Yes.
Yeah, we might need Mama Bear to come in there and do that. All right, 7:54 the time now. Let's jump out to the Daybreak Ag Report.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.